Amen. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And I ask and I pray, Father, that faith be alive in each and every one of us, Father God. And Lord, just asking tonight and be an awesome time with you, and that revelations would come forth and people would start believing that faith is for them. And I just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. It's going to be an awesome time tonight in the name of Jesus. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? I thank you, Lord, that Angelica's sister Sandy is healed and the whole hospital is in an uproar about it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that our enemies are bound up and set aside in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for all the promises you've promised us over the years through words of knowledge and visions and things like that. And I praise you for it, Father. They're coming true even as we speak. I thank you, Lord, for smart watches. In Jesus' name, make some of us even smart. All right. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Hey, Joe. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I have a prayer request from Juan. So Juan is at a Pentecostal church, I believe, and there's a Catholic guy that just left the Catholic church going to his congregation now. So he's asking for prayer. I believe he said the guy's name was Ryan, and so he's learning about spirit. He's learning about all that jazz now, so Juan's having a hard time telling him about this stuff because he still needs to learn a lot. So I'm just going to lift him up. Lord, Father God, we thank you so much for revealing your truth to all our brothers and sisters. Father, we know you're going to do this in abundance in times to come, but you're starting to do it now, and we thank you so much, Father. Lord, I want to pray for Ryan. Lord, Father God, we thank you so much for revealing your truth to him and just showing him a bit of your spirit, and that he's sort of stepped out of that religion of Catholicism, and he's starting to see your spirit, and he sees your spirit in the Pentecostal assembly, which is a step forward in my opinion. Lord, Father God, just continue to show him the truth and continue to open your spirit to him, that his mind doesn't get clouded, doesn't cloud him in the way, but that your spirit just overcomes his flesh. And Father God, I pray for Juan. I pray over his spirit and his mouth so that he speaks properly and that he's able to help his brother to encourage him and to guide him, and that iron sharpens iron, Father, and that they're both just going to grow from this experience. Lord, Father God, I pray this revival to just keep flowing and going through all of us, that we're just filled with your spirit, Father. We thank you so much for all that you do through us, and we love seeing you work in our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
I was talking to my next door neighbor yesterday, Mila. she, if y'all remember, her husband Perry has bladder cancer. They're watching a spot on his pancreas. And so, Father, I just speak. I thank you, Lord, that he is completely healed and that cancer is gone from him, and that whatever that is on his pancreas, command that to disappear. And he will get nothing but good reports about that in the name of Jesus. And I break all curse is spoken upon him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing them in both into your kingdom, Mila and Peto, in a mighty way, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And taking them out of that Serbian Orthodox, whatever it is, stuff, and bringing them into the real, true gospel, true salvation, real Jesus, Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Lord, go ahead, Missy.
I caught a drift of the weather, and they're saying that the East Coast might get another possible bomb cyclone. Well, we just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We cast that down, and it will not be anything major at all. No high winds. No major snow in the name of Jesus. It is winter, but no freak weather happenings in Jesus' name. No weather manipulation or anything like that in Jesus' name. Praise you and we
Amen.
thank you, Lord. We send forth the angels to just disperse it all and bring all attempts to make this something that it's not in Jesus' name. It's just
Amen.
normal weather and there's no bomb cyclone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Lord, I just ask, I thank you, Lord, that throughout this ministry and the local and the outreach too, that people are getting a hold of who they are in Christ. I praise you for that, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that people are lining up with great and bold faith to believe what your word says. And I thank you, Lord, that when we pray for each other, that the word means something and that we know that it's going to happen. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
I just sent you a text message to remind you of something.
What was that? I wasn't paying a bit of attention. I'm sorry.
That's no problem. I'm not offended, Michael. I said I just sent you a text message. I just sent you a text message reminding you about something that you asked me to remind you about.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, good deal. Thank you. Y'all see the love just pouring out of me just everywhere. It's just going everywhere. Glory to God. What kind of look is that, Obadiah? Okay, let's see here. I want to pray against this alien deception that the government is trying to bring out. And Lord, we just come against that and we bind it from ever coming out. It's a deception that the enemy would love for the government to acknowledge and bring forth, because that's the enemy's true nature. Once it gets acknowledged, they can go ahead and do the deception. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. We cast it all down right now in the name of Jesus. And that's the name above every name. Those are not aliens, they are demons in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for casting this down and waking up Trump and the people around him that these are not aliens, these are demons, has been demonstrated to them. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's done. Y'all believe it? Raise your hand and praise God and thank him, because it's none. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Lord, I thank you for exposing all of the voter fraud that's going on in this, that has been going on in this country, as we have seen that they're doing. They're exposing it, and I thank you, Father, for it. I ask and I pray. I bind up those Dominion voting machines and other machines just like them from coming into this country anymore. And I thank you, Father, that they're going to pass the Voter Save Act, and that they will have to have paper ballots, and they have to prove their identity and their citizenship. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I watched that video that Angelica put in the chat about the AI. It's like a half hour, 25-minute thing. It's pretty young, crazy. And there's even like I saw that there's even apart from this, that there's even a lot of AI stuff. And children's toys and stuff like that too. And we know it's getting out of control, and I believe it's all part of the end time beast system. But it's I think it's like other things are coming along too fast to line up with end time prophetic stuff or whatever. Anyway, so Father, I just send forth the angels to slow this stuff down in the name of Jesus, this AI down. Slow it down that it would not take us further ahead in prophetic timeline than where we are. We forbid it to bring about whatever. That it's not time for things. And Lord, we just ask you to give the elect, your saints in particular, the discernment, Lord, even if they're not even saved yet, just work in their hearts and give them wisdom, discernment, and help them to understand, Lord, that this AI stuff is not good for their kids. And take that they not allow their children to have it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you for doing that. Protecting the children, Lord. And even if the parents are ignorant, Lord, we ask you to protect the children anyway, Lord, that they not be seduced by it, sucked in by it, or anything like that. In Jesus' name. Until their parents do come to the knowledge and understanding, and no, leading them to do crazy stuff or just working on their mental state or anything like that. And we just thank you, Lord, for protecting it. And as a matter of fact, Lord, we just ask the angels. We tell the angels to go and break all the children's AI toys that are
Negative influence.
children of the elect, Lord, just to break them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Father God, we just ask and we pray that you knock out all negative influences on the children's minds, all of them, all the children, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and thank you for that, Father, that AI does not have any kind of a mind control effect on any of them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Missy. That's a good one.
Amen. I'm just gonna kind of tag on to that a little bit, just as Missy was praying. It's like, Lord, the deception and the things that people don't know and they don't understand themselves because they don't spend any time reading in your word. They're not spirit filled. They don't know the spiritual understanding of a lot of things in your word and what they mean. And even like the depending on whatever translations, I haven't researched this out, but just depending even the translations, the word alien is in the Bible. And if they didn't know any better, they think that was like aliens. So with all this talk of, aliens and UFOs and all this stuff that they're saying is out there, how many people would be deceived by that just by the letter of the word? So Lord, we pray for your grace and mercy. I also ask God, just I pray the blood of Jesus over all your elect, Father, for discernment, like Missy said, and just a supernatural understanding that this isn't true, it can't be true, this doesn't look real. But so many people can be misled in these things because they are ignorant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, you said, Lord, and because they have not love for the truth, and they're not seeking you. So God, we pray for that revival that's we know is coming, and it's begun in some to some degree in places and with people, Lord. And we thank you for pouring out your spirit, drawing people into your word with a hunger and a thirst for truth, to want to know you, to want to understand, really seeking out, the end time stuff, and to want to know what it means, and lead them to the truth about these things, and protect them from these false prophets and teachers that don't know what it is themselves. And thank you, Lord, for preparing us to have answers where we can, and to point them to the truth, and to for your anointing. We just look for this to come soon, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. If it wasn't for you, Lord, we would be, someplace in deception too. So thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of that and bringing all of our family members out of that deception, out of religion, these things that they don't understand yet. And there's all kinds of stuff that they can do with technology. This day and age is very, it's a dangerous time for that kind of thing when you don't know you, when you don't know God. So thank you, Lord, for protection on all of your children, and for bringing light into their darkness, God, and drawing them. And for we praise you for your sovereignty over these things, that you are sovereign over evil and these things that are happening right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Okay, did everybody see the message and the fellowship chat about Hebrews chapter 4? Okay, good. All right. I came across that the other day, and yeah, let's do a song. We got a song, we got a song, I got a song to sing to you. All right, go ahead.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things, so I won't be shaken, I won't be moved, my enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Oh, 'cause my God is greater than death, hell and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be moved. My God is
God. I just happen to have that particular verse right there. I was looking at it the other day, Matthew 21, 21 and 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, truly I say to you, he's talking to us, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, talking about speaking to it and killing it, but even if you shall say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Praise be to God. You know, that tells us that faith is a law. It's a law just like planting seed. If you plant seed, it's going to come up. You plant it in fertile ground, it's going to come up. Same way. If you speak and you believe what you said is happening, you got it. You have it. You can move mountains. I'm speaking to my mountains and I'm telling them to move out my way. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. All right. Is that Anna or Obadiah with the hand up? All right, Obi. Can't hear you.
So I have a testimony. So I don't know, a few days ago, I happened to me a couple times. I was losing something, and right while I was in the middle of praying for it just my eyes just darted to it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you had great faith, didn't you? That Lord was going to make it show up. Thank you, Lord. That same thing happened to me the other day too, Obie. Yeah, Missy too. Go ahead, Missy.
I just thought of something. My little windshield wiper on the back of not my windshield, my rear window. It's just this. It doesn't cover much area to begin with. And ever since we've had it. How long have we had the tracks now? Well, ever since we've had it, it doesn't want to wipe the whole way over to the side. It starts here and goes over this way. Anyway, it doesn't want to wipe the whole way. It was leaving about that much that it should have wiped, and it wasn't getting it. And I thought it was the blade. I needed a new one, and so I went to Advanced Auto Parts, and they'll put them on for you if you'd like. And I'm like, yeah. So I bought one, and here it didn't make any difference. So they refunded my money, and they said it's probably the arm was bent or whatever. For some reason it wasn't going or whatever. And the guy tried to bend it back for me so that it would be snug against my rear window. Anyway, so I'm like, so they said, well, when you go in to have it serviced or something like that the next time, you can just say something to them and ask them, see if they can fix it for you or whatever. And I know I prayed about it and asked the Lord to fix it. And I'm like, I want you to fix it for me, Lord. And so then I think it was last week one day, I noticed it looked like it was going over the whole way, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but I remember briefly thinking it looks like it's working, it's going over further than what it did. So when I was out today and it was raining a good bit, I noticed that it was going over the whole way, and it was swiping the whole way. And so when I got out and looked at it, because you can see the water marks and stuff and everything. After I pulled it in the garage, sure enough, it was swiping the whole way. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So there's little things. I get it. It's such a charge when the Lord does little things like that on vehicles and stuff like that. And like when my dishwasher was making no funny noises for months, and I just kept thanking the Lord that it was fixed, and stuff. And eventually it stopped. And didn't make that noise anymore. And because when you have a noise, a funky noise, you're like, that's something wrong with it. But so thank you, Lord, for those little things.
Amen.
Just to so we can boast and brag on you what our God can do.
Amen.
How much more for us? Okay, we're going to talk about faith here. How much more for us? How much more will he says by his stripes I am healed. So I was healed. How much sometimes it seems like it takes more faith to believe for a healing or to see something manifest for a healing. It seems like it takes longer for that than what it does these other mechanical little things, but maybe it's just because when we're wanting a healing, usually there's pain that's involved with it, and that seems to drag on longer because you're actually feeling something, but anyway, thank you, Lord, we're healed too by your stripes. You care for every area of our life. You're our savior in everything. And you're our give us our every need according to your riches. You provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Just a teeny tiny little testimony, but I know it was the Lord. The other night we had a thunderstorm come through. I knew it was going to be raining and stuff, and it was going to be raining overnight and stuff. And I saw that there was possibly some intense thunderstorm, I mean, some intense heavy rain. Well, I told the Lord, like, it'd be nice to hear the rain, wake up in the middle of the night and hear the rain. And he did that for me. He woke me up maybe about 5 minutes or so, and it was really, really coming down rain. It was loud. It was loud against my window and on my roof and all that. And I'm laying in bed and I'm laying there, and then this huge bolt of lightning. And then boom, the thunder was right there. It was like right over us. And I knew, I was like, wow. I mean, I kind of jumped in my bed, I was still caught off guard, wasn't expecting it. But we don't get a whole lot of thunderstorms out here. So I was kind of excited about that. And I was laying there and I'm like, wow, you did that for me, Lord. Woke me up to hear the rain and everything, and it's like a big, thunder, lightning thing. And it's like, I know he did that for me because he knows I like to listen to that every now and then, like a good thunderstorm. And it was right over us. Oh, that's how I know it was the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just like this morning it was raining, and I said, Lord, I said, this morning I was praying as we were on the morning meeting, and I was praying to the Lord. Lord, get these clouds out of here, because when I get ready to go walking this afternoon, I want to walk in the sunlight. And by this afternoon, sun started shining, and I walked all in the sunlight, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Praise God for the little things. It's faith. Believing what you pray is going to come. Thank you, Jesus. Resting in the Lord. Amen. What are you doing? Making a suit for Obadiah?
This is Elisha's, and I don't know what I'm doing, so I have to do this scene by hand because I did the cuff first. So
Okay.
after ripping out several scenes today, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this one by hand.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Lord, I just ask that you bless Matthew and Anna and the kids immensely. They've been such a blessing to the locals here. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing everybody on the outreach tonight, too. In Jesus' name, beyond their wildest dreams. Amen. Obadiah's taking control there, isn't he? Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? The reason I wanted to read this Hebrews chapter 4 is I read it the other day, and I found some things in it that was awesome. And as we get to it, you know what I'm talking about. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to get into it. It's a real good chapter, and it brings to light some of the hiccups that we have when it comes to faith, in my opinion. So, anybody got any other prayer that they'd like to say before we get started here? Hey, Josie, Debbie, Barbara, Megan, Joe, Josephus.
Hello, everybody.
All right. I think the way that I will handle this is I'll read a paragraph, and then we'll see if there's anything in there that anybody would like to talk about. If you've got some kind of revelation or something upon it. And that's kind of like we've always done in the past. So let's just do it that way. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 out of the RASV. Let us fear, therefore, lest perhaps a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached to us, even as also them. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with those who heard. For we who have believed enter into that rest, even as he has said. And I'm going to just stop right. Well, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to start and stop in verse 3. Entering into his rest, what does that mean to us as a faith people? All right, Missy.
Well, kind of, he rested from his works, so now we rest from our works. So we enter into everything that he's accomplished. I partake of it, I don't do my works, I do his works now.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? I see it a little bit differently. When you enter into the rest, go ahead, Benjamin, I'm gonna let you do it.
Well, this is just something I've been kind of thinking of recently, and how God has faith in our potential to be more like Christ. And so he sort of put it into me that in the rest is the only place where we can grow in our potential for what he has for us. So we're resting in the faith that God has for us and loving that person that we're changing into, and we're resting from our own works, but and having faith in what God works into us through our wilderness, because they entered into the rest in the wilderness. And so spiritually, we are in a wilderness. And we rest in our works, because they brought stuff into the wilderness, but it didn't last too long. They were complaining. They had to go back to Egypt, the ones that complained. They perished in the wilderness because they kept complaining and mumbling and all that. And it was the next generation
Speak up a little bit, Benjamin. We're having trouble hearing
that.
you.
Sorry about that.
That's
So
okay.
here we are. It's the next generation that received the promises, which is a type and shadow for us. And so we are now only able to receive the blessings, just like how that second generation received them, by having faith that God provides for what they need. And so spiritually, in this, in our walk with Christ, when we're progressing 30, 60, and 100 fold, that's where our potential is when we're in a rest of God's going to provide for me what we need. And we all
Amen.
know that, and we all know that the devil is used in this process as a tool. We have authority over the devil. He does not have authority over our potential in our salvation walk. So, if we have that in mind, we know we have authority over the devil, because he's the one being used, not him using us. I'm just wording things that's coming that has come into my mind with what's I'm kind of been reading lately. And so, to say the rest, I always think of That's key. If we're not in our rest, we're not growing in the potential of what God is wanting us to be. And if you're not growing in your spirit, the only other way you can be growing is that you're growing in your flesh. There's no gray area. There's no like, okay, he's just gonna hang out for 2 months. No, you're either growing in your spirit or you're growing in your flesh. So constantly resting, you're constantly in the progression of your potential. And that's where I'm at right now with what is this. And it's all God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And that's why I think it's in verse 2 or 3 where it talks about the fear of God, of not being in that rest. Because if you're not in that rest, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're regressing, I guess you could say.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. It's if you're not resting, like he said, you're in the flesh. You're working in the flesh. You're looking at things in the flesh. You shouldn't be looking at things in the flesh. God's word is more secure. It's more true. There's more truth there than anything that you can see, smell, feel, hear, or taste. And it's when God says, by his stripes you're healed, hang on to that. That's the rest. You're in the rest now. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, that I have provisions. Thank you, Lord, that all of these things that I've prayed for and that you've promised us, I know they're happening even as we speak. And I'm going to rest in the fact that it's all coming true. That's the rest that he's looking for. It's not, well, I don't care. I don't feel good today. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. It's what the Word of God says. Now, don't get me wrong. You can, we ask for prayer and all of that. That's great. But we need to get into the rest that God is doing that work in us, regardless of what's happening around us. David and I have been in some tremendous trials here in the last few months, and we just rest. We just don't worry about it. Don't even talk about it hardly. Joke about it a little bit because we're in the rest. Praise God. But anyway, that's what you do. You believe God over and above what you see, what you're like. Ben said, you don't make any, it doesn't make any difference what your flesh sees, hears, feels, smells, whatever. Doesn't make any difference. It's what the Word of God says. It's the truth. And there's an old saying that Lake said all the time. He said, truth can change fact. And the truth, of course, is the Word of God. And the fact is what you see here by your flesh. And it can. Amen. That's good, Benjamin. Thank you so much. Anybody else? That's the rest he wants us to live in. If we understand that the Word of God is powerful, I know that we have all possibly been brought up in the flesh most of our lives and walked in the flesh and da 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 da. And then when we came into to the kingdom, it's a whole new world. And we start learning. And like he said, you got to stay on the word of God to bring down those imaginations that we have, those strongholds in our brain that we've built up over the years. And you do that by the Word of God, by listening to it, quoting it, doing it, and all of those things. Okay. Anybody else on just on that first paragraph? Well, that was a lot right there. Amen. All right. I like that verse 3. It says, "For we who have believed," I'm going to say it again, "for we who have believed enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Woo, glory to God. Verse 4, "For he has said somewhere of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and in this place again they shall not enter, and in this place again they shall not enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter into it, and those to whom the good tidings were formerly preached failed to enter in because of disobedience." Ooh, my, I'm gonna stop right there. He says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. All right, Julie, go ahead.
And just something that caught my eye that I don't think I noticed or paid much attention to before. It's in verse 3 and 5, where it says that I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. In verse 5 again and again, and in this place again they shall not enter into my rest. His rest. He's already done it. He's resting from his works. It's already done. So those who don't believe, they will not enter into, they call it that rest, but it's like my rest. He says it's my rest. Had you guys ever, I never saw that really pay attention to this. They will not enter into my rest. If God's resting because everything was finished, he rested, then we can rest because it's already done. But I had to look up the word rest just in, when you look words up like that, for me, it just helps me get a bigger view of what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing. It's a cessation of motion or action of any kind applicable to any body or being, as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion, rest for a rest of body or mind. A body is at rest when it ceases to move. The mind is at rest when it ceases to be disturbed or agitated, like the sea is never at rest. It's a quiet, a repose, a state free from motion or disturbance, a state of reconciliation to God. I thought that was kind of, that helped me. It's like, how many times you, when you labor over something in your mind, at least I do, like, how is this going to work out? How am I going to, how is God going to do this, or how am I going to figure this out, or how is this? You try to start thinking all these scenarios, right? And it's those vain thoughts and imaginations. But anyhow, that just helped me a little bit.
Amen. We're just, I have heard scientists say that the universe is ever expanding. It's always expanding. So God never said stop. He just let it go like that and it's still going. When he said, "Let there be light," he didn't say, "Now stop out there somewhere and quit." No, he said, "Let there be light." Let all this stuff he brought into existence, and it's still doing. It's still expanding out there, and according to the scientists. Now, how they know? Don't ask me. I don't know. I ain't never made that trip. But I've heard one guy say, if you could speed out there and get ahead of light, if you could get out there and get ahead of light coming at you, that when it came by, you would hear it say, "Light be." That's, I've heard them talk about that, that you would probably hear that it's made of two things. Two little tiny things is the voice, or the light is made of two little old tiny things. And of course some theologians, I believe it was Blakett said that, Kurt Blakett said that. He said you could probably hear light bee as it goes by if you get out there in front of it. And that just, I said, well, yeah, probably so. I'm not going to dispute it, but I kind of believe that. Sorry about that. I felt it coming. I couldn't get to the stop sign, though. All but anyway, I thought that was interesting. He didn't let it stop. He just let it keep going. You know why? Because he's gonna make a big playground for us. Yeah, he's gonna make a big playground for us. Glory to God. Okay, anybody else on what we've read so far? Anybody got any questions? All right. Seeing therefore it remains that some should enter into it, and those to whom the good tidings were formerly preached fail to enter in because of disobedience. He again defines a certain day. Today, saying in David, so long afterward, even as has been said before, today, if you shall hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterwards of another day. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, as Ben talked about earlier, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall according to the same example of disobedience. Okay, now what's he talking about there, y'all? Everybody at one time. All right, Barbara, go ahead.
Well, if you're in sin of any kind, you can't have faith. So if you, and if you don't have faith, what was I gonna say? I've forgotten now what I was gonna say. I lost my train of thought.
No.
Basically, I'm
Keep
just trying to
going.
get my, I know, I'm just trying to get my thoughts. I know if you're in sin, you're not able to have faith to believe. So how are you going? You can't be in the rest. Yeah, you can't be in the rest if you're, if your heart condemns you, if, how's that go? If your heart condemns you not, we have boldness with God. I'm not even getting that scripture right. I'm sorry, it's hard for me to put my words together. Just
You quit talking
never.
like that. You start
I'm
confessing a
sorry.
good confession, girl.
I know. Well, I'm trying here, and I sound in all
You're doing
choppy.
good. You were doing good. You're doing good.
You had that scripture right. You just need to finish
Yeah.
it. That
Yeah.
scripture was right.
If our heart con if our heart condemns us, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness before God. And I forget the rest of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I
That's
can't.
enough. That's enough.
Well, it's
That's
in my
enough.
heart, and I know in my mind, I just can't seem to articulate it, and that's my problem there. Sorry. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to articulate my words
Amen.
right.
Amen. Thank
Okay.
you, Father.
Yeah. That's it. I
Okay.
that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's and you were going in the right direction there. When you go, when you're in the rest, are you in any kind of unbelief that God's going to do what he said he's going to do? No. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. In fact, I've often told people this too, when after I prayed for, you can't see what God's doing inside of you if it's for healing. You can't see what's going on inside your body. God is healing you from the inside out. And sometimes it takes it, he's going to see if you're going to endure in your faith, or are you going to start speaking a bad confession. A lot of times, most of the times, that's what happens, is we get a little bit, I've done the same thing myself, but I'm here in the last little bit, I've started saying, "Look, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. The devil, get gone." The word of God says, "By his stripes, I'm healed." And it's all, and sometimes we get in condemnation. And that'll steal from all of those things that steal from us, us working, trying to work God's, and we're trying to make God happy, so he'll get us healed. He'll heal us, when in fact he's already done it. All we've got to do is believe it. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, like what Barbara was saying, and about, when you're in sin, you can't be in the rest. And I don't know if this is what you were thinking about, or what you're were getting at, Barbara, but it's like when you're anxious, you're doubting, you're double-minded, or you've got all this warfare going on in your mind, it's hard to rest. So I think for me, it's like getting to that place where I'm resting, and you've got to pray. Get rid of all the other stuff and make sure that it's not your thoughts and it's the enemy attacking you, and so that you can rest. Yeah, being in the flesh. Yeah. So, but yeah, just getting free from all of the attacks of the enemy, your own fleshy mind, with battling all the thoughts and stuff. Because you can't have doubt, you can't have fear, you can't have anxiety, you can't have all of these things that the enemy puts on you immediately after you pray, because if you accept those thoughts, I've just been studying that recently, what the name of the broadcast the other day, as you think in your heart, so you are, it's our thought process and stuff. So it's getting to that place where you are resting. Amen.
Amen. I like what it says here. It says, "Today, if you shall hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." So what he's telling us is, get in the word, stay in the word, get the word in you. That's faith. Getting that faith in you by the word of God. "For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward of another day. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his." What is our works when we're, go ahead, Andrew.
The other day you talked about the woman with the blood issue, and she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. And then I said, well, we get to put on the garment now. So I'm just kind of wondering, when it says here, no, I'm just thinking out loud here, to enter into that rest. We're looking for something from Jesus, and we've got a garment that we're supposed to put on. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, And I'm just saying, want to enter the rest. Is it like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? So that I'm just saying that, to rest in the Lord, to rest that the Lord Jesus Christ is being put on, and to rest in the Lord because he promised you his garment, and to rest in the Lord because it's a grace given to you, a power even given to you, a holiness a love given to you. Because, and we know and believe the love that is in us. God is love. Who abideth in love abideth in God, and God abides in him. Enter into it. Enter into this rest. So I just looking at it as his garment, and his garment is the word of God. To Jesus is the name called the word of God, and that's all the way back to your baptism where you sealed your salvation in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. Surely God's name is written in the heavens. It even says that in Psalms 19, you know. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech, and night by night showeth knowledge. There's the day by day is the sun glory. The night by night is the moon and star glory. So, am I thinking wrongly here? I don't think that entering his rest is not too far from entering into the glory of God, and because God wants to share his glory with you, as it says in Ephesians 3:16 and 17. You know, he shares his glory with you, and from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, and there's the glory we enter into in the other verse that I mentioned there. In Ephesians 3:16 and 17. That the inward man of 17, and the end of 16, it mentions the inward man. But in 17, it says that Christ dwell in your heart by faith, rooted and grounded in love. So there is a rest to these verses. What are we resting in? And he mentioned Joshua. But we know what Joshua means. You know, like, is that a hint that he mentioned the Joshua and the Jesus of our day? So praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Let's go and see what else he says here. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall according to the same example of disobedience. Number 12, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Ooh, that's a lot in that one verse there. Yeah, Julie.
In verse 11, where it says, give diligence to enter into that rest that no man fall after the same example of disobedience, is that meaning that no man fall away? Would that be like to stumble, to fall away? Is that what it would be referring to?
Yeah. That's what he was talking about. Said, let us therefore give diligence to enter that rest, that no man fall according to the same example of disobedience of the guys out there in the wilderness when they fell out there. They didn't get to enter in, did they? Only two people out of that whole bunch got to enter in. Go ahead, Andrew. Maybe you got something more.
Well, you know, it's the diligence there. We have to be diligent. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it mentions the word diligence in your faith and to add virtue and to your virtue knowledge and to your knowledge. I think it's patience and it's or self-control and then patience and to your patience, godliness and brotherly kindness and love. So I like the first two words, let us, you know, who you taking with you. You know, it, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So who's the us, you know, who's part of that let us? You know, it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16, I read it again today, that it says, for what fellowship hath, not, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? And the sanctuary is on the right hand of God. The idols is to be on the left hand. So, and he says, know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that? When he says something, you got to wake up and read it. So who? And then there's a lettuce just down there in 7. So 7 and 1. So who's the lettuce? Who are we taking with us when we let us therefore give diligence to enter into the rest? So do we enter this rest alone? Who's the us? Some people might think, well, we're a corporate body. But you know, in Acts chapter 9, Jesus referred to himself as a corporate body. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who art thou, Lord? And he's prostrate, head down. And he said, I am Jesus who you persecute. But he wasn't actually persecuting Jesus. Jesus was that corporate body that he was persecuting. He even mentioned later that it was a very bad thing to touch God's righteousness. And you know, he made you righteous by making Jesus sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteous. Or we might be made righteousness, not the, okay. That is a definite, that's the Lord. He, that we might be made righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. We are not the righteousness, because there's only one who is the righteous one. So so that's the lettuce, you know. And you know, sometimes it's these small two-letter words there that confuse some of the people, you know. But every single word here is and it's very hugely important that it's us, and who do you take with you? Like, who do you take with you if you have an inward man? From Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. He tells you about the inward man at the end of 16, and 17 he tells you who it is, Christ in you. So, you know, and plus, you know, you got also Colossians 3 and 3, where it says, for ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the true Emmanuel. There's an Emmanuel, yeah, in the Gospels, but now this is the Emmanuel, God with us. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And if you're going to love God, because Jesus said this, if any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love it. And we will come and make our abode with him. And that's a we. So not only is he saying that the let us is Jesus, but it's also God. Because it's Emmanuel, God with us. And if our life is hid with Christ in God, then what's Psalm 91, verse 1? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Anyway, That's the us. And he tells you there, you know, in 4 and 6, that it's you're with God. He's over all, in all, and through all. And he's telling you there that he's mentioning you to be his sanctuary. And he said that he was even going to walk in us. And God's saying this. You know, like, I don't know, sometimes you need to get shaken up a bit in your head, you know, like, wait a minute, if I'm carrying God inside of me, I better smarten up. I don't know. Come on, people now. Smile on your brothers. Get together. Gonna love one another, right? Anyway, it's kind of exciting, but scary at the same time, you know, that you have an almighty God that is going to receive you. It says in those verses there, you know. I was just comparing the verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16, to the end of 6, into 7 and 1, and I was comparing it to those verses in Hebrews chapter 10. And I was going, there's some real similar verses here about the God being in us and stuff and walking within us. And I was going, wow, you know, because he's changing that tabernacle into being in us. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and he is the tabernacle, then we have serious access to the candlestick, the table of showbread. But what does that mean for us today, you know? What is this mercy place that we have today? This place of an altar of grace, I would say. The altar of grace is now that altar of our prayers, where the incense goes up and our supplications are calling to him when we call to him, even in distress, you know, like, oops. Couldn't you just compare it to an earthly dad? Okay, son, calm down. I'm going to help you with your math lesson. You know, and for me it was physics, by the way. Anyways, I wasn't saved in high school, so I kind of think there were some saved guys there in high school. I think about that sometimes, because I remember in particular four of them standing up giving a real good testimony right in the middle of the auditorium. Anyways, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. You know, I'm just going to put me, all of us, into it. If we would study the words on faith, I believe that everybody here would understand that faith is set in stone. You either have it or you're in your flesh and you're not in the rest. And I believe that's my perspective on it. I believe that if you don't believe, you're looking by the flesh rather than by what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, by his stripes, you know, you healed or delivered or whatever. Whatever it is, provisions, the same thing. You know, you might not have a nickel in your pocket. That doesn't mean a thing. It could show up underneath your mattress. It could show up in your billfold in a moment's time. And that's what he's talking about being in the rest. Just believe it's going to happen. Believe God's going to take care of you. And he will. My cupboard's empty, Lord. I don't have any food. I thank you, Lord, that I've got food in that cupboard. And the next time I have to go out there and get something, there's going to be something on the shelf out there. I'm going to grab it and we're going to eat. Or I thank you, Lord, that I've got a full tummy. You know, although I'd like to eat it first. But it makes no difference. God can do anything if we just believe and getting to rest to understand that God's already started. Let's go on here. Where I was, all right, 11. And Andrew touched on this just a minute ago. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall according to the same example of disobedience. How do you keep from falling into disobedience? Staying in the Word of God, keeping the Word of God right here all the time, in here, putting it in here. Once you get it in here, the devil can't get a hold of it. Yeah, both of them. Amen. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Whew, that's a lot right there. What does all that mean, y'all? I'll read it again. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. What does that mean? Huh? Of both joints and marrow and quick to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart and intentions of the heart. All right. What that mean? Y'all want me to pick somebody? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, Michael kind of gave it away when he was gesturing with his mind and heart here, because if you look in chapter 8 and 8 of Hebrews, it's talking about, I just read it a couple of days back, about what God does with us on the new covenant. He's talking about Moses there, that it's not going to be the covenant about them coming out of Egypt anymore, like it says here even. Okay. But Paul's using this as an example for these Hebrew people. Okay. And if this example's for us too. And that's why it's written in the Greek book too, in chapter 10, I think it is, of 1 Corinthians. It talks about the Moses explanation there, where some people really know how to discern the first verse there of spirit going across the river, going across the Red Sea, sorry, and following the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, but here we have a heart. And I believe that because he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. Now, that name has three in one, okay? It's God the Father's name, hallowed be thy name in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is the name called the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit has a name too, and it's holy. Okay? And it's you got to remember to use that word and don't leave it out in all the verses, because it says there to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And he that calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. But the Holy Spirit has a name to it, and he's going to teach us all things and remind us of what he taught us. So he's got to put this somewhere in us, and he's got to put it in our heart and in our mind, because that's what it says there. The covenant is he's going to write his law in our minds. This is God's will for us. So the will is the nature, character, and authority. The mind, the will. He says, I will, you know. When he says the I will, and it's talking about it's for us, then it should be for us, okay? That's why the name of the Lord is so powerful, you know. The name is we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, but there's a name there in the word of his testimony. Jesus is the name called the Word of God. Okay, so the heart is where you believe, it says. But he's writing it there. He, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that you're an epistle, a letter, you know, known and read of all men. And you can read each other. That's why our fellowship is so exciting, because we're reading off of each other, you know. And God said that it's not ink on the paper, and it ain't the red ink either. Because I know about red and black ink. That was my job, to put it on paper at one point in time. So it's written on hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God. So he's confirming with that verse, and you need two witnesses to confirm it. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. So he says he's going to write it there. And then in the Hebrews address of 8 and 10, I think, and it says it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I can't remember the exact address, but he says that you're an epistle there, and that's our 2 Corinthians wonderful verse there in 3:18. So to have the faith, it's going to be written in your heart. You didn't have anything written in there before you were saved, but he did write some law in there. And that's supposed to be used to bring you into the faith, to be revealed, as it says in the in Galatia. So that's just it, you know. You start the Jews started out with law, you know, and it was to be used to reveal the faith to what them. They were shut up on shut out of the and then, you know, because the door is shut, God's coming to knock on the door. Jesus knocks on the door, and the door opens, and the faith is revealed suddenly to you. That's the day of your salvation. But now the door opens again for every portion of fruit that the Lord teaches you by putting it in your soul. And praise and glory to God. So this is a very powerful verse, this discerner of thoughts. Because there's your mind and the intents of the heart. There's your heart. This is a covenant verse, the new covenant that God's making with us. And he's making you this. Don't you know you were raised up with him, made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? And you're being made. He's creating you. That's not too far from 2:10, you know, of Ephesians, where God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works. And goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So, and it's prepared by God this way for us to walk in it also. So, we should walk in it. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That's a lettuce. And that's what I call lettuce now. So you can call lettuce what you want to call lettuce. And he's making us those who dwell in his tabernacle. And what's his tabernacle? Well, Hebrews 10 will tell you what his tabernacle is. it's Christ in you. And praise and glory to God.
Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I don't know. I still like to reflect on these verses because I don't know all what it means at all. But I think 12 and 13 go together because God sees the intents of our heart. No creature is, you know, there's no creature that is not manifest in his sight. He knows everything about, he knows our thoughts even before we have them, you know. Is that Psalm 139 where it talks about how much, you know, how we, all the details of our whole being, you know, he knows everything about us. Yeah, his thoughts are too high, you know, for us. So I you can't, for me, I have to break it down in sections. So the word of God is the word, right? Jesus is the word. It's the very image of God himself, our Father. And how it's a two-edged sword. And I've heard it been taught that the one set, one edge is for yourself and the other edge is, you know, against the spirits to divide, you know, spirits from you. We're supposed to use the promises of God, which is the word of God, to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. So dividing the soul and spirit. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. So it's dividing our soul and our spirit. It's separating the unclean, maybe, you know, the unclean, piercing, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. What's not, what God doesn't want in us, and how we're supposed to use the word to cleanse ourselves. Both joints and marrow. So I know we've talked about this verse before, and I don't remember everything we discussed about it, because I was the one that brought it up. So I was like, help me with that. But the blood is made in the bone, right? So it's in the marrow. So the blood, life and flesh, life of the flesh is in the blood. Anyhow, that's just kind of how I look at verses like that, where it's so big, and how it means and what it means. I have to divide it up and take those little sections and try to figure things out. Anyhow, there's, God sees our heart, the intents of our heart, if they're good or evil, and we don't get away with anything. He sees and knows everything, you know, about us. So we should fear God, right? Amen.
Yeah, amen. Sure is. Okay, Joe.
I'm going to try to explain what I'm thinking to put it into words. The verse that says the word of God is living, active, and sharper than a two-edged sword, but it says also from the soul and the spirit. In other words, if God's word is not active and living in your life, you can't have fruit in your soul. In other words, the sharp point of the sword is to cut away the flesh to have fruit in your soul. Now what I was thinking is, if the word, it comes back to the previous verses that says obedience and disobedience. Rest means for me is obedience, because it's opposite of disobedience. Now what's only after obedience is to have fruit in your life. And the fruit can only be by the word of God, be living and active, and cut away the flesh with a sword.
Amen. I was thinking the same thing, but you said it a whole lot better than I could have. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I found this saying. I think it's one of Kenyon's sayings. I wrote it down in my Bible. It says, healing is not a favor from God, but a fact established in the atonement. It is part of our heritage from Jesus. In other words, it's there. God's already given it to us. It's not a favor. He's already done it. It's a done deal. All we have to do is just believe that it's so. I like that. And I like what Joe said about the difference between when the sword sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. You don't want to be in the flesh, you want to be in the spirit of God, don't you? Amen. I learned some myself. Of both joints and marrow and quick to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen. The heart being the spirit, right? Shaking your head, yeah. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, amen. 13, and there's no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him. We think we can get away with stuff, don't we? You can't get away with nothing. God sees all, everything. He said, I see it all. So you might as well just repent and go on and quit doing it, whatever it is. And when we repent and get right with the Lord, then you can start having that faith. That faith just works with you all the time. Whew, then 14. I'm going to go ahead. Y'all mind if I go ahead here? I'm going to do it anyway. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmities, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to that throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. Just what we just got through saying. My, 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 my. If you're right with the Lord, you got all the faith you need. Because why? Jesus lives inside you. The Spirit of God lives inside you. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, the last part has grace in it, the last verse you read. But the first word in 14 and what and 14 is having. And that's given. That's a grace word there, you know. Having therefore the great higher priest. And that's our inward man. And we try to emulate him and copy him in every way. So you know, he's a priest. After the order of Melchizedek, and if it's an order, then and who are everyone else in his order? But also after the order of Melchizedek, but he's the high one. Okay, so there's a priestly function for us too, and it describes this priesthood. In Hebrews very well. So, and it's just going to go on when he starts talking about that too in future chapters. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. What I
No,
wanted to do, go ahead.
he's already passed through the heavens there. So he was resurrected before all of us, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But we're made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it talks about him who hath already done, passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold fast the confession. So, you know, yes, there's the lettuce again. You know, like, who are you taking with you here? You know, for it is God that worketh in you both, the will and the do. He's going to walk in you. He said so. So that's a good confession, you know, to say God walks in you, you know, and in 4 and 6 of Ephesians, who's over all, in all, and through all. That's a good confession too, you know. That's God, and it's, again, I say it's scary, and it's exciting. Sometimes it's more exciting, and sometimes it's more scary. I don't know. Praise and glory to God, though, because we have to. He who calleth you is holy. Peter said this. Be therefore holy in all your behavior. And if you look at every single one of those fruits of the Spirit, from love all the way to self-control, they're all behaviors that we emulate. We need to be faithful. We need to have faith that worketh love. And we need his goodness, because he set it all up for us. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk. So there's the goodness. So he gave us everything to be his sons and daughters. We're in need of being perfected. He gave us divine power for his divine nature to come to pass in us. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're all going to get to the point, I believe this, if we stay in the Word, keep the Word in it, that we'll start speaking what the Father says, has spoke with, about us, and we're going to walk in divine health, not just occasionally either, but continuously walk in divine health, because we believe what the Word of God says. And I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Ephesians 4:13 through 15 says, till we all attain unto the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all are striving for that part right there. That we may be no longer children, it says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. We're growing up into Christ. And when you keep reading that word and putting that word in here, you can't do nothing but grow in Christ. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Andrew. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
And you know, one of those words is that he sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And that's your baptism. You were immersed into the Holy Spirit also, and you, some people manifest the things that are a gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's an interesting one. Love is kind of in that love chapter of 13, and it shows you that without that love, those gifts are not as powerful as they should be, I think. Anyways, yeah, so if the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is sent unto you in his name, and he's going to teach you all things and remind you of these things, then those things that Michael just read over there in Ephesians is what's going to happen too. And you know, another verse for that, because out of the mouth of two witnesses, let my word be established, is those verses in 6 and 2 of 2 Corinthians. I will hearken unto thee, and he's going to save you too. He's going to do these things, and he says, now is the day, and now is the day. So it's finished. So it's now. So again, he says that he will hearken to thee and to bear fruit, and he will hearken to thee when he is most. And he will secure thee. That's to aid, help, and relieve you. And we need to be relieved of what we need to be relieved. And he already knows what we need. And we've asked for these things, and we meditate on these things of what we've asked for. Patiently waiting. Patience is to come out of tribulation. But we're supposed to rejoice in tribulation. And patience with this patience is part of your grace. Because it says so right there in that 6th chapter. And the tribulation is part of your grace. He gives you crosses to bring grace, and then he gives you comfort to bring more comfort. And sometimes he brings you, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, sometimes you go through some suffering to get some comfort. And sometimes someone else already, the Lord suffered on his cross for everything for you. And that's why by his stripes you were healed is so important. Because he suffered for you to give you comfort. And comfort for comfort and suffering for comfort. Comfort for comfort means he's giving you fruit. But sometimes we suffer for comfort because the apostle says that, you know. He distressed at one point in time. But Titus was sent. And that was the comfort there. But not just Titus, but knowing that God sent him. That they did want to hear Paul. Paul and his companions speak to the, I forget what people they were, maybe the Macedonians. So, praise God.
Yeah, I was getting kind of worried there. I didn't know what was going on over there in y'all's apartment. That phone was quite loud here. The quang. All right. Yeah, that's right, Andrew. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? What grows us up in Christ? That should be an easy one. Yeah, Julie.
I think it's easy. A lot of contributing factors is trials, patience in the faith, endurance. Long suffering, staying in the Word. I mean, there's just a, it's not a one thing answer, I don't think. It's a lot of stuff.
Amen. It's reading the Word, doing the Word, isn't it? Yeah, just to put it simply, yes. And all those things you said is true too. But it's reading the Word and doing the Word, getting the Word down in you. When you get your Word down in you, you're renewing your mind just like Jesus. Yeah, Barbara, that's right. Go ahead, Ben. Did you have something? Oh, you just scooted up there. Oh, hi, Karen. You got a strange voice if that was you on the telephone. Sound like an angelic being, huh, Missy? No. Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else got anything? growing up in Christ is knowing the word, getting the word in you. How many of you have ever just taken a look and studied and just meditated on Isaiah 53 and the atonement? 20, what is it, 23 through 20? Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Well, that is a fascinating chapter, Isaiah 23, 23 through 25. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
I sometimes think about that verse in 52, the very, I think it's the second last verse, 14, where and how much they beat him and stuff. And, he didn't even look like a person.
Uh-uh.
You know, and
when we understand all that was put on him, good gracious.
Yes. And it brings out a whole bunch more when the Lord says that he took him who knew no sin and made him sin on our behalf. So there you have it in the 52 verse there. He made him sin on our behalf, you know. And that's what he had to let happen to Jesus, his son. The 52:14 verse, I think it's the second last verse in Isaiah 52. So I can't see how the people who would read that would not know who they're talking about there. You know, and of course, 53, the rest of it too, you know. It's one of those chapters, you know, where the chapter numbers and the verse numbers were added at a certain time in history. But sometimes you got to go a little bit before too, you know. Even like this chapter 4, you go in of Hebrews, you go into chapter 3, and he's talking about the people there. These were God's people who fell in the wilderness, you know. And praise the glory to God.
Amen.
I never saw the movie Passion of Christ, but I don't think it gives justice to that verse on how much they beat him, you know, because I don't know what that he looked like in that movie because I didn't see it. But I think it's even worse. I think Hollywood did a good job, perhaps, in that movie to display it. But
I think it was more the diseases and sickness that marred his looks. And all the things that we experience in our, you know, people's lives that went on him so that we don't have to take them. Cancer, tuberculosis, all of those things, every disease imaginable upon that man. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, Michael, I was just trying to, what was the reference that you gave? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 53, what is it, 23?
No, there's only 12 verses in Isaiah 53.
Yeah, all right, might be 23 then.
Well,
just a minute. I'll find out. Hang on.
I went and looked there too.
Well, 53 is you know, foretelling of his, you know, that God put everything upon him.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
people thinking. Are diseases and curses. That what Andrew was talking about was 52, that he was so marred that wasn't recognizable as human.
Okay, I should have been paying attention just to that. I was just paying attention to the number of verses that Michael was giving. They're not there in
those
chapters.
I was giving the wrong verses, but it's,
yeah, okay.
It's what Judy said.
I was just confused. I'm trying to find it. Okay.
Do you understand that that 53 is talking about the atonement
Yeah.
for us, what he did for us, so that we don't have to experience it if we don't want to. We can if you want to. I don't care nothing about it. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Well, anybody else? Yeah, the awesome thing about that Isaiah 53 is that he did it all for us. That's the love that he had for us. It all for us. And sometimes we drag him through the mud, don't we? By not believing. Oh boy, if y'all could read some of John Lake and what he said about people going to the going doing things that I'm not going to mention right now, but it's amazing. He was right. He was correct. When we do things against the Word of God, we're putting it back up there to do it again. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking how, when you read that and you meditate on that and you understand what you suffer, what we go through is really nothing compared to his sacrifice for us and what he suffered. And I know it, for me, it just makes me love him more and just really appreciate and thankful. That here I am, and he chose me and he did all that for me. And he would do it again. He said he would do it again. He would do it again if he had to, Yeah. One day we'll all apprehend, like Paul's prayer was that we would apprehend the love of Christ, all of him, apprehend him and his love for each and every one of us, that intimacy that he desires us to have to really know how much, I guess we've heard, people who have experienced that presence where the love of God, and you just melt and you cry, you weep, you it's just intoxicating just being in his presence because of the love, because we've not really had that. We're so physical, so much of it, and it's more of a spiritual thing, that's where we're going to be for all eternity. In that presence, I guess for me, it's like, Lord, make my heart ready to receive all that. To apprehend all of who he is, and to know the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of him, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. That's we're going to be in all eternity. I guess, when you think, this is a deep thing to meditate on, that we have yet to apprehend all of that and all that he is and how much he really loves us, and what and why he did what he did for us and why he suffered the way he did for us. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're about out of time. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for sending your son to the cross to take on all of those terrible diseases and all those terrible pains that he suffered through that. They said he didn't even look like a man during all of that. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. Father, and place it in our hearts to want to submit to you, Lord, and read and study the Word of God so that we can be just like Jesus. And I praise you, Father. And Lord, place it in our hearts that it won't be in vain that He did that for us. That there would be, all of us would be men and women of God that looks just like Jesus. That the light of Jesus would shine out from us through this dark world and bring light to it, Father. And I thank you for that. And I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I believe that you're doing it even as we speak here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Looks like we're out of time. Y'all be blessed, you hear?